Today's first lesson is from the prophet Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Whenever I have moved about among the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commended to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people of Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. The evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord. The epistle for today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But he was much perplexed by his words, but she was much perplexed by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. and this is her sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of our Lord.
Good morning. As Victoria mentioned, thanks to our liturgical calendar this year, I can begin this homily with good news. There will be no homework assigned. The season of Advent ends in a few hours with our Christmas Eve service. There's barely enough time to go home, finish Christmas preparations, and get back to church. But the bad news is that instead we should all think of this service as a pop quiz final exam for Advent. The season is ending. How did we all do? What did we learn? Are we ready to receive the Christ child in our midst? The Advent season is a challenge for many of us. I work very hard to tune out all the Christmas music and the commercialization of this time of year. For others of us, we may feel overcome by sadness or depression or loneliness during a time when we may feel obligated to put on a happy Merry Christmas face. There is more than one way to keep a holy Advent, because this season is a time of preparation that meets everyone where they are. The emphasis is on waiting in expectation, knowing that God will find us where we are and lead us to where God wants us to be. As a church season, Advent is actually a song in two keys, one major, one minor, one of joy and one of penitence. The season, as we observe it, is a joining of two traditions, one from Rome, one from the East. The church, by about 400 AD, had established December 25th as Christmas and January 6th as Epiphany. Christmas celebrated Christ's birth, and Epiphany became a time for baptism, preceded by a 40-day period of preparation. When you put the two traditions together, you get joy and penitence. As we explain it, we celebrate Christ's first coming in joy as we prepare for his second coming in penitence. For we are the people living between two times. The entire Christmas season from birth to Epiphany is a celebration of God's word incarnate, from the Greek logos and sarkos, literally the enfleshment of God's word. The great 20th century Lutheran theologian Paul Tillich once referred to the incarnation as the Anglican heresy. He was being clever, but there is a truth there. As Anglicans, we rightfully emphasize the sacramental nature of all creation, God's work through material things, and above all, the Word made flesh in Jesus. And we express this in our liturgy and in our engagement with the world as it is and as it is becoming. So how have we been doing as we sing the song of incarnation in two keys for these 3 weeks, in joy and in penitence? The collect for today offers a prayer for this final part of our journey. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son Jesus Christ at his coming may find us in a mansion prepared for himself. Our readings begin with the story from 2 Samuel. The Lord spoke to David through Nathan, saying, "Are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. The Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." A mansion, a house, and where we wait for David's son to come tonight, a manger. In our epistle, we have the final words of the letter to the Romans, a doxology offering praise for the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed. A revelation that begins tonight. Our gospel readings for the first three Sundays of Advent began at the end with Mark's story of the second coming of Christ, followed by two Sundays about John the Baptist, the one who came to proclaim the coming of Christ. Today we hear Luke's story of the Annunciation of the Lord, the announcement by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive and become the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. After the Annunciation, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, who was also with child. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And in reply, Mary sang the Magnificat, which we just said together, and which Mary Ann sang last Sunday. Together, the Annunciation and the Magnificat, Mary's meditation on what God was doing in her, are among the most powerful texts in the Bible. Yet it may be easy for us to pass right by them in our rush to get to Christmas. When we rush, we lose the opportunity to not just hear and read these stories, but to mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, as we prayed in Thomas Cranmer's famous colic just last month. Mary gives us our final instructions for Advent as the Annunciation prepares us for Christ's first coming and the Magnificat prepares us for his second coming. For we are the people living between two times. In the Annunciation, we are told that our God, creator of heaven and earth, will take human form, fully joining us in this life, and his arrival will signal the coming of a kingdom, the reign of God. Like Mary, we too will receive a gift in the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And like Mary, our reply is simply to accept the gift by offering ourselves. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. How do we understand this servanthood? This servanthood is our Christian vocation, neither forced nor optional. We are simply called to be the persons God created us to be. In the Magnificat, Mary proclaims the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promises in the past tense, but in God's time as a present and future reality. Mary proclaims the reversals of those who suffer and those who cause suffering. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. And he has mercy on those who fear him. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And in all these ways, he has come to the help of his servant Israel, remembering the promise of his mercy that he made to our fathers and mothers. The Magnificat is our call to penitence. When have we been proud? When have we hoarded our riches? When have we sat on our thrones while others suffered around us? God calls us to participate in God's saving work, showing mercy, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry. One of the tough things for me to realize at my age is that I already know the story and how it turns out. And yet I keep forgetting, distracted by all those things that lead me astray. That's why I need Advent every year in order to get ready to receive the gift of the Incarnation, to wait with Mary as she carries God in her womb, to wait with joy and to wait with penitence. To prepare myself to give birth to the great love and blessings God has given me. We hear and read the story. We mark and learn the story. We inwardly digest the story. And we do this so that we can live out the story. The Christ child is coming. The Christ is coming. As we wait in great expectation, let us get ready for his arrival. Amen.